are now in day three of the second week of the KSFR Fun Drive, and we are asking you to give a call and support the Radio Cafe and support KSFR by calling 505-428-1393, 428-1393. And we're going to do a very special giveaway. We're going to do a couple things. So it's going to be a big hour. The ALH Foundation is making a dollar-for-dollar match up to $2,000 between now and noon. And so, for example, if we can make $1,000 on the show today, and that is our goal for the day, we can then get $2,000 for the station. So please give a call right now and support us by calling 505-428-1393, 428-1393. It is my great delight to welcome back to the Radio Cafe Vince Cadlebeck. He is co-founder and CEO of Meow Wolf, an arts organization here in Santa Fe whose grand opening at the Silva Lane's former bowling alley, now extravagant, amazing space of wonder. The grand opening of all this starts tomorrow and goes through the weekend. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you. And we're going to be giving away one lifetime pass to Meow Wolf. So if you make a donation anytime during this hour, at the end of the hour, we're going to have a drawing, and one person, one lucky person, will win this lifetime pass. 428-1393 is the number. Let's get the phones ringing. We've got three phone volunteers here, and I feel very strongly that all of them should basically have a job to do, namely answer the phone.
Yeah.
So I want to ask you, Vince, I remember it's been just about a decade that you and your artistic colleagues have been coming on the Radio Cafe to talk about Meow Wolf. Remind us how it got started.
Yeah, it's going on 8 years. It's a little bit over 8 years now at this point. And, you know, it started, we're a lot of born and raised Santa Fe artists that went through the whole Warehouse 21 system and kind of, you know, became young adults and no longer, we weren't young enough to be at Warehouse 21 anymore, I guess. And we weren't old enough to really get involved in the gallery scene, the Canyon Road gallery scene. So we decided that instead of waiting for our time, we just needed to create our own venue. We needed to create our own space to express ourselves. And so that's what happened. 8 years ago, we decided to rent a space, and we had strong direction as to what that space was going to function as. We just knew that we wanted a space and that all would kind of follow from there. And so, you know, music shows, punk shows, hip-hop shows, a place to hang out, a place to invite new people in. And then the most significant thing that sort of emerged from this space were these crazy exhibitions, these immersive experiences that were very colorful and sculptural and immersive and maximal. And so that kind of became
as
sort
opposed
of
to
our,
minimalism.
As opposed
maximalism.
To maximalism. Maximalism. Yeah, exactly. As opposed to minimalism. And so that sort of became like our calling card of sorts, our signature were these exhibits. Yeah, right.
Now when you say you came up through the Warehouse 21 system, so to speak, Warehouse 21 being the kind of teen and young people nonprofit space where people can be creative and go and hang out. How did that influence what you guys started doing after you graduated, so to speak?
Well, Warehouse 21 was it was the DIY mentality. And
do it yourself.
Yeah, the do-it-yourself mentality. And when that was, you know, in the 90s, sort of mid to late 90s, when we were all kind of hanging out at Warehouse 21, there was this sense that, it wasn't even a sense. The truth of the matter was that it was being run by teenagers. The shows were being produced by teenagers. Every element, all the workshops were teenagers, you know, producing those workshops. And it was a place that was kind of like this, had a vacuum of real administrative grip, and in a way that allowed for 16-year-olds to come in and say, here's what I want to do, and then do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, Anna Gallegos-Reinhart, who was the director at the time, was really good about giving teenagers sort of the freedom to just do stuff. And so we kind of all were part of that, you know. I did theater pieces. Benji, who's one of our founders, threw, you know, Andy Warhol parties. And so it kind of had that. It just helped us think about, like, event production and helped us think about, like, you know, how do things come to be? How do things manifest? And so we still had that in us, and we still carry that with us today. I mean, the majority of the things that we do are all done in-house, you know, whether it be creating interactive devices or producing a sophisticated data network system, or, you know, we're still in this DIY mindset, even though we're on this size of, you know, a multi-million dollar company.
Right, right. The reason I was asking about your kind of, you know, it really was a kind of schooling for you. I remember the first time I met you guys and you came on the air, you were talking about the fact that you had, I mean, a bunch of you, not just you, were talking about the fact that, you know, in this day and age, you have the choice to go to art school or go to a college and major in art and have a huge student loan and then have to work a corporate job, or self-educate, essentially, learn on the job, do it yourself, and be able to, like, work in a coffee shop and do art full time.
Right. Yeah. And you know, at this point, we have sort of what the third option is that we're trying to produce here, which is, you know, instead of art school, come work for a creative studio.
Yeah.
You know, come work for Meow Wolf and get paid, or, you know, get... or come and volunteer and learn a bunch, you know, while you're at it. So that's been an incredible aspect of this project that has emerged, is just the amount of cross-media training and cross-media education that is happening with everybody on the team. You know, we're learning CNC routing and laser cutting and 3D printing, and we're learning a ton about materials, you know, deep knowledge of materials at this point, you know. And I think when you walk into our exhibit that is opening tomorrow, you'll get a sense of that. You know, it's this wide range of textured, dynamic material that, you know, I think really proves our knowledge base right now. And there's a lot of people feeding off that, young people, 18, 19-year-olds who are straight out of NMSA, and then coming right over to Meow Wolf and getting involved in this, you know, sort of firsthand experience.
428-1393 is the number here in the KSFR Fund Drive. We've got a $1,000 goal for this hour, which will be $2,000 because it gets matched by the ALH Foundation. You also have the chance to win a lifetime pass to Meow Wolf, and we're going to talk about what is actually going on there. I went over there yesterday and had a tour, and the installation is mind-blowing, and I was prepared for it to be mind-blowing, but it was mind-blowinger than I even thought. So 428-1393 is the number, and you can support public radio and support the Radio Cafe. And I have to say, I'm very happy that I met you guys nearly 10 years ago, because you were just starting out, and I've been able to see, by having you on the radio, the evolution of you guys. And you also, I was wondering if you could talk about what the radio has done for you.
Yeah, certainly. Well, when we, you know, started in 2008, I mean, the day we opened, which was a Valentine's Day in 2008, we came on to your show, and it was our first moment that we've had sort of a media attention. And there was really no reason for you to invite us at the time. I mean, we were unproven, and we were, we were just a bunch of 20-year-olds who were, like, trying to do something. It's like we didn't really have any sort of background there. And so you brought us on, and the level of significance that brought to our sense of what we were doing, our sense of accomplishment, our sense of purpose was huge. That relationship between sort of a positive media and Meow Wolf has really continued to like sort of just help us grow. And you've been like this consistent thread through the whole thing, you know, that felt like it empowered us. It reached us out. It reached an audience that was really important for us to have from the get-go. And it kind of just gave us this sense of legitimacy, you know. And so, yeah, I mean, we, you know, it's really appreciated because you kind of went out on a limb in a way to say that you're going to get behind this group even before we had proven anything, you know. And so,
well, I have to say, A, that's what community radio is about. I
right.
mean, this is why we do it, and this is why people support it, because this is where they learn about what's going on in the community. And I feel like there's something that happens in community radio, which is it's a way that people get to know each other.
Right.
So I sit there in the baking company or wherever here in the studios of KSFR, talk to people. But what happens beyond that is this magic that I have no way of actually tracking, which is that people
right.
show up at Meow Wolf or show up
right.
at whatever and then get to know you guys, and then their lives change. And that is what this is all about, which is why we ask people to call during the fund drive, 428-1393, and say, you know what, I value this and I support it. But,
yeah.
the other thing, when you say it was going out on a limb, and the reason it didn't feel that way for me was, you know, I'm open to pretty much anything. When people say, oh, can you have me on the air, you know, I will consider really anybody, and the criteria are very loose. You exclude certain things, but I remember I went over to the installation that you guys were creating, and I felt this like almost electric current go through my body, where I felt like this is alive, this is real, this is something that's growing, this is something that I feel love for.
Yeah,
that was. That was really what it was. Right. And so I was like, oh, my goodness, these guys are very young. I want to support them, and I want to have an ongoing support. And that's what happened. And when I see what you guys have become now, it was really beyond my wildest dreams and probably yours as well.
Yeah, see, and we just had a sense at that time of, like, you know, kind of being alienated from, like, there is this line in Santa Fe between sort of what was really happening and then what people were communicating was happening, you know. And so we felt like this sort of alienation from whether it be city government, or alienation from the way that Santa Fe marketed itself, and alienation from the whole, the press in general, or media in general, that like we weren't part of the narrative. And so that first invitation that you had, you know, to come onto your show felt like the first moment where that was being bridged, you know. And then we've been riding that wave sort of ever since, you know, and have been greatly embraced by the established, you know, industry, art industry, or the established city government, or whatever now at this point. So, you know, but that really felt like kind of the catalyst or a first moment for us, at least made us feel like
yeah.
we were recognized, appreciated, and part of the larger conversation in the city.
Yeah, so. Now it's the larger conversation in the city, in the state,
yeah.
in the country, internationally.
Right.
I mean, you've been – the press that you've gotten has extended all over the world.
Yeah, we had the front page of the LA Times recently. We had NPR here yesterday walking around and doing interviews with us inside of the space. We Vice, and yeah, it's been incredible. The amount of coverage, amount of attention we've gotten. Of course, being associated with George R.R. Martin now at this point, like we are, since he's the one who bought the building that we are currently leasing, that's really been a huge catalyst. I mean, having his name on the project really makes everything kind of take off. But what I like that's happening in these news stories is that George is mentioned, but then that's it.
Yeah.
It's like it really is about Meow Wolf. And I think journalists come into the story of Meow Wolf thinking that it's going to be more centered around how George is involved in getting all this done. But then they see this other thing happening, which is like more interesting than maybe just a pop icon author buying a building. So We're totally blessed. We feel like right now just riding this wave and just wanting to open something that amongst the hype is still going to be, you know, fulfilling to an audience. You know.
And substantial and artistically, you know, rich in so many ways. 428-1393 is the number here at the KSFR Fund Drive, by the way. We give the number a lot because we want everybody to call. Some of the phones are ringing. Some of the phones are available and open. So please give a call and get a chance to win a lifetime pass to Meow Wolf, which is that's worth a lot of money.
It is. It's selling for $2,000 right now. So, and we're selling them pretty consistently.
Yeah.
So we sold about 75 lifetime passes thus far at a $1,000 level, and then we sold another 25 at the $2,000 level. So we've made a pretty good amount of money off of them, and they're really great deals. They're amazing deals. Basically, you get into every single music show or special event or private gala that we might throw. You get into for free, and also get to bring a guest, and that's for as long as we're doing shows. And that includes Santa Fe, or maybe if we do something in Denver in the future, or whatever it may be. And then you also get unlimited access to the current exhibition. And so you can come whenever, you can bring a friend, and you can get in at any time. And, you know, I think it's, you know, what's valuable about it, too, is that, you know, we're basically just saving space at all of these music shows that are going to end up selling out. We're saving space for the lifetime pass holders. So it's a kind of a guaranteed entry into the really popular, the really big events that we have. That includes New Year's Eve events, Halloween events, you know, special calendar events that happen throughout the year. So it's a good deal, and it's because we need cash up front.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, and so it's been really helpful in getting this project off the ground.
428-1393. The phones are all in use right now. I love that. It means that people are calling. It means they care. It means they support this station. They support Meow Wolf. They support the Radio Cafe. If you get either a busy signal or some odd little message, just hang up and wait a moment and call again. 428-1393. One of the things that has really intrigued me about Meow Wolf as a phenomenon, as a group of people, is that the sense of collective identity, as opposed to the sense of the hand of the individual artist, has been really a kind of prominent feature of what you do. I loved the, for example, when you did those early installations, it was impossible to tell who did what.
Yeah.
And then when you did this thing called the Do Return, which was the building of this giant ship at the Munoz Waxman Gallery at the CCA, and one could, you know, walk around the inside of this ship, and there was this sense of mystery and this sense of story, and there were performances going on sometimes, and each little area of the ship, you know, it was clear that somebody made this little area or that, but there was never a name on it.
Right.
And you could never, you know, it was about the group. And I wondered where that collective identity idea came from and how you've kept it going.
Yeah. I think that idea came from so many experiences with, you know, as teenagers and as young adults, kind of dealing with the sort of gross culture of celebrity and dealing with the overbearing culture of like a top-down capitalist structure where you always have this boss, and that boss, or you have the owner, the owner of the business, and that's the person who, you know, sort of dominates the conversation. And a lot of us just feeling like, you know, just feeling like we want to operate in a different type of society. And so that was an important aspect of how we were going to be moving forward with Meow Wolf. And so how we've kept that going is that we've just, you know, we've made that just a standard. So if you don't like, if you can't deal with the fact that, like, your work is going to be totally absorbed by this beast that we call Meow Wolf, then, you know, it's just not the right place for you. And so we're attracting and retaining the people who are interested in that idea and who want to see that continue. to happen. And we did that first because of sort of a response to the art world and how the art world was becoming less about the art and more about the artist. And now we're keeping the same mentality, but we're taking it into the world of business. And so we're still maintaining a collective identity, even though we're an LLC, you know. And this is giving all of us a whole new idea of what it means to work and get a paycheck and go to work. And how can work be something that is totally a different feeling and a different experience for people? So we're bringing that collectivism into the workplace, into the business, and trying our best to maintain that.
Which is it's really going against the grain of how business works today, although there's a lot of lip service to, you know, being a team player and that kind of thing all over the country, but still.
Right. Yeah, no, I mean, it's definitely a top-down hierarchy in most business situations. But, you know, for us, it's like it's much more about the roles that people play and recognizing that these roles that we all have are interdependent and – you know, I might be the person who's fundraising and on the radio shows and the CEO, but it's not like I could do this. I could raise money if there wasn't this incredible product to go out and raise money for,
right,
which is being produced by the hands of so many people, you know.
We're talking to Vince Cadlebeck of Meow Wolf. We're going to take just a little break right now. We will be back in a minute and we will give lots of thank yous. So please stay tuned. And we're back at the KSFR Fun Drive, and the phones have been ringing, and we are delighted. Ladies and gentlemen, there are two things that we can do today during this hour and only this hour together, and that is, one, we're talking to Vince Cadlebeck from Meow Wolf. We can, if you call right now, you can be in the drawing to get a lifetime pass, and the name will be drawn right after the KSFR news. At 9 o'clock, so a little bit after 9 o'clock, we will announce the winner. Meanwhile, you can call and support public radio, and not only will you be in the drawing for that pass, but also you will every dollar that you give will be matched by the ALH Foundation. So if you give a $100 donation, it's $200 for the station. We would like to thank Elizabeth Hendrick, Anna Maria O'Brien, thank you, Barbara from Los Alamos, Katie Egan, and Douglas Kaufman from San Cristobal, and the beloved Anonymous, who is one of my favorite people and one of my favorite artists also in the history of art. Anonymous is very prolific.
Yeah.
And Meow Wolf, too.
Yeah, everywhere. That's right.
So you have done so many things. One of my favorite pieces that you ever did was a theater piece called The Moon Is to Live On, which I saw twice and which I still think about with so much joy. And I think one of the things that you have done as a group, as a collective, is open people up emotionally to this sense of it's not just a childlike delight. It's a sort of complex delight that is available to both children and adults that is just – it fills your heart in a way that I have trouble describing. But you're smiling, so you know what I'm talking about because it's intentional.
Yeah, certainly. Well, we keep on going with it, you know, and we've kind of continued to learn what it is that we are doing that brings that delight to people. And, yeah, I mean, really at the heart of it, it's kind of getting at the nature of – dream and getting the nature of imagination, and it's kind of in this when it clashes with reality, when you bring it into this mix with reality, it's psychedelic. So it's finding the sort of joy of psychedelia and finding the joy of dream, which everybody has, you know, no matter the age, can have like this love for dream. You know, it's not just a childish thing to like love the crazy dreams that you have. And so trying to tap into that sensation that happens when your mind is taken, when your imagination takes over and leads you towards realities that are previously impossible to create, you know. And so that's really the idea. It's you know, Michelle Gondry taps into it a lot, and we've had, you know, a lot of a lot of artists and filmmakers that have inspired us, you know, that kind of have tapped into those realms.
Who are some of the artists and filmmakers who've inspired you?
I think like Murakami is one. Miyazaki. So, you know, Spirited Way and Princess Mononoke, those are like those animated films.
Yeah.
You know, Jim Henson, you growing up on like The Muppets and Fraggle Rock, and really being taken away into that universe. Disneyland, you know, the stuff that the Walt Disney Studios has produced over the years. I mean, definitely is the magic of Aladdin, for instance. I think probably our generation all kind of got touched by. And then, yeah, I would say that like psychedelic pop is big in a lot of our lives. I mean, the Beatles and the Beach Boys, and kind of presenting reality with a slightly distorted lens. You know, so it's still reality. It's still that pop culture, but it has a veil of psychedelia over it. So I think that's probably the best sort of way to describe our genre is a pop psychedelic, a psychedelic pop genre. Yeah,
it's interesting because there are so many references to film and to popular music, but what is in this new installation at the Silva Lanes? It's so material.
Right.
You're walking through portals, and there's this one. I won't give it away because there will be people who are going, but there's this one particular portal where you open a certain kind of door, and suddenly you walk through. It's sort of like The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. You know, you open the closet, and instead of there being clothes in the back of the closet, you walk through it, and there's another world.
Right.
And I remember being so influenced by that kind of literature, children's literature, when I was a kid, that I would actually sometimes like go upstairs into the back room of the house and open the closet. But it was only the back of the closet.
Right.
There was no portal, you know. And here there's an actual portal, and you walk through things, and it fulfills the kind of, at least for me, the kind of magical sense that I so longed to be real when I was young.
Yeah, this is touching on a, especially using the house as the centerpiece.
Yeah.
You know, it's really basic, and it's very much like touches on a I think like a deep rooted thing for a lot of us.
I mean, you've built a gigantic and complicated Victorian house inside the former bowling alley.
Yeah. Yes, it's absurd. Yeah, there's a fully designed and built house in there that, you know, that we did every piece of. We did the trims and we did all the decor, all the facade work. I mean, it was a Meow Wolf. It was all Meow Wolf that produced that. And so it has this complicated feel, but then in concept, it's a really basic concept, which is just a house that has these secret passageways. And so, you know, I think what we found out really early on is that people really like forts, like the idea of spaces inside of spaces. And so that's something that we're doing. So we have the bowling alley, which is now the Meow Wolf Art Complex. And then inside of the Meow Wolf Art Complex, you have an exhibition space. And then inside the exhibition space, you have the house. And then inside the house, you have these secret passageways. And then inside the secret passageways, you have little vignettes and spaces that you can hang out in. And so just kind of continuing to create like these like spaces inside of spaces inside of spaces, kind of this infinity mirror effect that, you know, that for whatever reason, maybe it's our connection to, you know, the idea of a womb or something, but people just love being huddled in little spaces like that. So we're really touching on that quite a bit. Yeah.
428-1393 is the number. We're talking to Vince Cadlebeck of Meow Wolf, and I've got a few more thank yous. Let's see. We want to thank Patrick Chavez. Thank you, Patrick. Patricia Morris, Helen, Paul Tackett. Thank you all so much for giving to KSFR and the Radio Cafe, and we may We may just make our goal for this hour. If we make $1,000, we'll actually be making $2,000. So we are well on our way. But please keep on calling, because you will be in the drawing for a lifetime pass to KSFR. No, not to KSFR, to Meow Wolf. So 428-1393 is the number. So this vast art complex at the Silva Lanes, you did, I mean, George R.R. Martin of Game of Thrones fame was a, you know, science fiction fantasy writer and really generous man and wonderful guy, bought the bowling alley, is leasing the space to you, but you also had to do a huge amount of fundraising. You decided to make this a for-profit business rather than a non-profit, so it was a different kind of fundraising,
right.
Whole new world than what many of us are used to here in Santa Fe, where there's so much focus on nonprofit work. And I wondered, I mean, I remember back in the day when you were going to thrift shops and getting stuff for a dollar and making installations. And I remember I once cleaned out my closet and gave a load of stuff to the Salvation Army. And next thing I know, it's in a Meow Wolf installation.
Right.
It was really cool.
Yeah. No, that was part of our character back in the day. And it's still very much a part of our character. I mean, it's important for us to, I was talking about, you know, a range of materials, and that's a part of that range of materials. You know, we have a solid sense, you know, we like the idea of a high fidelity feel and look, a high tech feel and look, and then this low fidelity sort of feel and look sort of simultaneously slammed up against each other. So what it does is that, like, that recycled material, sort of more low to the ground fabrication work, it communicates to the audience member a sense of the artist or a sense of the person behind the work, rather than being machine cut, or rather than being like so precisely designed and fabricated that you almost forget that there's a person there. And, you know, artists, you see this in the art world, and artists strive for, there's some artists that strive for one and some artists that strive for the other, where the human's removed, and then there's others that really want to see the human touch in it. So we're doing it, and we're doing it from both ends, and it kind of comes just down to what is the collective, which is a collection of artists, what are their interests? And back in the day, it was largely, let's pull stuff out of dumpsters and let's put it up in walls. Now it still is, let's pull stuff out of dumpsters and put it up on walls, but now we have a whole new range of skill sets that are increasing people's interests. And now we're doing like CNC routing and you know, a lot of material treatments that create different effects. And so, you know, we've really grown in our knowledge base to be able to take that idea of being a recycled art collective and not losing touch of that character, but being able to combine it with something that's, you know, quite sophisticated.
I think it's also, you've got the recycled stuff and the high tech, and that comes with actually having a budget to work with.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Which is the first time that we've had a budget to work with, you know. And we did the Due Return. You mentioned the giant ship that we did at the CCA. And we built that on a total of $50,000, and that was without paying anybody. And
yeah.
So this we basically vowed to never do that again. We're not going to do a major production unless we can pay people. And so, you know, I'm really proud of this project because we've employed over 100 artists for 14 months on this project, and we've spent over $1.5 million on people in our community. And I would say that of those 100 people, 70 are Santa Fe residents, 20 are from Albuquerque, and 10 moved here from out of state. So, you know, that piece of the story is one that, you know, definitely proud of, and is definitely the direction that we need to continue to go in. And we want this to be a prototype. We want this project to be a sort of a sign of what's to come. You know, that there is an audience for this, that projects like this can get a lot of attention, can make money, and can employ a local art base of creatives that are wasting their skill sets, honestly, working in service industry.
Right, exactly. I mean, the amount of talent right now in all sectors of society, in every class and race and age of society that is working in service industries right now, it makes you cry.
Yeah, it's amazing. And we have a set of friends of the Mesa recording guys who, like D Numbers and, you know, those guys who are incredible musicians and incredible composers and sound designers. And it has been so nice to be able to pay them for what they're really good at and what they're passionate about. And that's the thing that we're doing that's so nice for me, to show up to work every morning and see 100 people there who are all there because they love being there, because they're doing the things that they're passionate about. And there's not enough of that connectivity in society in general and in Santa Fe specifically, especially for young people, for young creatives. So really proud of that aspect of it. And what it results in is you can see it in the work and you can feel it when you show up on a daily basis, the energy that's circulating around that passion and connecting money to passion is infectious.
428-1393 is the number at the KSFR Fund Drive. We're talking to Vince Cadlebeck of Meow Wolf. We want to thank an anonymous donor who called a few minutes ago. We're doing pretty well this hour, but we still haven't reached our goal, so let's keep on it. Oh, we also have a couple more thank yous. Wesley Bradford from Los Alamos, thank you. Tara Andrea with Dances of Universal Peace, thank you, Tara. And the phones are still ringing, so we love to hear it. How has it affected you, Vince, with this ethic of you know, not having a top-down hierarchy and being about the collective and not being about the individual? You are CEO, and you have to be the boss, you know, on a regular basis, every day, in some way. How are you handling that?
Yeah, you know, it's a lot of communication with the team, you know, a transparency between everybody who's working on the team together. We meet once a week as a whole collective, so 100-plus people at a meeting, you know, once a week. And I've been very open and honest and vulnerable and expressive in how difficult it is for me to be put into the position that I'm put in, and that I'm going to do my best to be able to spread a lot of the media attention is really the tough part. You know, one, you can't do a TED talk, for instance, with 100 people on the stage.
Yeah.
And you don't even really do TED talks with two or three people. It's usually one person. So having that sort of responsibility, you know, and media, the media always wants, it's the same kind of grotesque obsession with celebrity,
you know, individuality.
And individuality. Yeah. So every time a newspaper comes through, they always want it to be about me, and I'm just working on getting better at deflecting and, you know, really dispersing it throughout. So, you know, when it comes to the team is really loving of me, very supportive, as I am with them, and they understand that, you know, just as we all have our challenges and our difficulties through this process, that mine largely is involved with, you know, dealing with that spotlight and dealing with the role that I'm in. You know, I also communicate very honestly with the team about how it's hard to be a boss. And I grew up being very anti-authority and being very anti-establishment and hating working for bosses and hating working for top-down hierarchy. So I too understand how bad it is to be, you know, to have that energy around. So I don't do it. I don't boss people around, you know. In times I'll like ask for something pretty strongly, but I recognize how, you know, how that you know, fear-based leadership based on punishment is, maybe it's effective, but it's not enjoyable. So,
well, in the long run, it's not even effective. I think, every possible study has shown, and, you know, all the work on women in leadership roles and having a sort of more communicative and collective and supportive team leads to higher profits as well as to more happiness.
Right. Yeah. And right now, if you were to walk in, well, you did walk into Meow Wolf. I mean, we are producing something at a breakneck speed, at still a pretty minimal budget, that is highly sophisticated, and yet the energy, even though the energy is very, you know, focused and dedicated to the work, the energy is fun and light, and it's a lot of people that are doing what they love and with the space to be able to do that, you know. And I think that I don't think that this would be or I should put it this way. I think this is Meow Wolf's sort of secret ingredient, is that we're mastering what collaboration and collectivism looks like and what real true positive collaboration is. It's such a hard thing to do. It is a letting go of individualism. It is a constant forgiveness of other people. And it's an understanding that collaboration doesn't work if somebody's not happy. And so everyone's working on making sure everyone else is happy. And that's kind of like the bottom line of our company, is that we're just trying to make every day a pleasant day for each other.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. And you have created this experience which people will get to actually participate in starting tomorrow night, when there is a gigantic gala, which is so big that it's almost scary. I don't know where everyone's going to park. Are there still tickets available for that if people want to go? Or should they sort of just like think about coming over the weekend or next week? Or
I mean, it's going to be a crazy weekend. The gala has, I would say, about 20 tickets left.
Okay.
They're $250 each, which equates also to 10. There's about like where lifetime pass holders get into the gala as well. So that's important to note, that a lifetime pass holder gets into the gala plus they get to bring a guest. So, you know, we're kind of balancing that. So it's going to be packed. It's going to be, you know, 700 people at that event. And then Friday we open to the general public. And Friday is going to be, I think, pretty crazy. We've sold a lot of tickets already. And the press that we're getting is probably going to result in crowds that are more than we can handle. If you want to experience a really wild social scene, then yeah, show up this weekend. You know,
yeah,
it's going to be fun. If you want to experience the exhibit and really get to know the stuff that we've created, then you may want to give it a week or two or a few weeks. I mean, we're going to be dialing stuff in. This is very much trial run stuff for us. We've never done anything like this, and nobody in the world has ever done anything like this. So we're going to end up having issues that we're going to be problem solving for the next month. So, you know, you really want to experience something that's complete. I mean, I would say you can even just let it sit for a while.
A little,
you know,
while,
this
yeah
is going to be up for indefinitely. So there's no limited run here. It's up until it stops making money, you know,
right,
basically. So we're hoping that we can survive for 10 plus years. And that this becomes a tourist attraction. It becomes a sort of local gem that families continue to bring friends to, and that people travel from Albuquerque to come and see. So, you know, there's plenty of time. You know, I know everybody's very excited to see it, but it would be helpful for us if it was spaced out a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So once you're open and things become normalized, how many days a week are you open?
At first, it's going to be 5. It will be closed on Mondays and Tuesdays. But we will then, we don't know when, but we'll soon absorb Monday, bring Monday into the fold, and be open 6 days a week, and Tuesday the only day being closed. So, and the hours will be 10 a.m. until about 8 p.m. You know, we might close down early on weekdays, and we'll stay open later on weeknights, maybe towards midnight,
weekend.
Weekend nights, yeah. For, you know, music shows and special events that happen, we'll stay open till 12, till midnight, or even till 1 a.m. We will be serving beer on occasion when there's special events. And so it has this feel of kind of a children's museum family attraction thing during the day, but then sort of an adult type of thing at night. Yeah, so it's all very much on the operational side of things. It's all very much a play it by ear. Let's see how people respond, and then let's be agile enough to respond to those needs.
We have a bunch of thank yous right now. Denis Cope, thank you so much, Denis. It's great to hear from you. What a loyal supporter. Michael at Burning Books, Burning Books being one of our underknown treasures here in Santa Fe. Very creative work. Beautiful beautiful publisher and artist over there. Tom Leach, thank you so much, Tom, from the Palace Press. Elizabeth Dunham is grateful for the show and also a very active community member. Wendy Cherry, thank you all so much for making a contribution to the Radio Cafe. We want to keep the phones ringing until the end of the hour, 428-1393. We've got just 5 minutes left until it's time to go. Then we're going to have the news, and then we will announce the winner of the lifetime pass to Meow Wolf, which was an incredibly generous contribution, Vince, on your part and on Meow Wolf's part. And I really want to thank you for that, because
sure,
that's worth a whole lot. It's worth a lot of money. It's worth a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's worth a lot of great times that people will be having. And I wanted to ask you a little bit more about the music. I saw yesterday when I was going through the space that there is kind of like a stage and a music venue. What kinds of shows are you imagining that you'll have there?
You know, we're gonna have some. It'll be all over the board. But you know, similar to what Meow Wolf has been doing, I mean, we're gonna curate very interesting, sort of cutting edge stuff, whether it be electronic music or a hip hop artist or a punk band. I mean, I think it's gonna be whenever Meow Wolf puts its name on a band or an event, you can trust that it's someone who is either very musically gifted or is culturally interesting, you know, one of the two. And it's an event that's going to be enjoyable. So we've booked Coco Rosie. That sold out really fast. It's a pretty popular two-person act that's out right now. Deer Tick, which is kind of like a country sort of folk rock band. And we have Nicholas Jar, who's a sort of minimalist techno DJ who is very popular and kind of like headlining festivals around the country. And people like Nicholas Jar and Coco Rosie, they're so big that we've booked them for two nights and they've sold out, you know. So we're hoping to bring, you know, real relevant, dynamic artists that you normally would see in a big city, bring them to Santa Fe, and hope that our venue is unique enough that a lot of those type of artists will be willing to play for smaller crowds just to be able to play inside of the venue. So.
And this is something that we hope will become part of the fabric of Santa Fe. I mean, you go to the Folk Art Museum, you go hiking in the mountains, you go to Meow Wolf.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's part of the itinerary is what we're hoping. And, you know, or you know, come opera season, I think we'll have launched a theater piece that will happen inside of the exhibition. So the exhibition then acts as a site-specific theater, and we have a narrative that we're going to display. And so we want to keep on adding new layers so that, you know, if somebody comes here for the opera, they say, oh, let's also go down to Siler Road and watch this crazy theater piece down there. Yeah, we want to continue adding layers that keep it interesting and keep the programming alive.
And also a special thanks to Shannon, who called just a little while ago. Now, this is part of not only a Santa Fe creative expression and everything that we've been talking about for the last hour, but also there's this ongoing conversation about keeping young people in town, about attracting young people to town. You've been very, after having started out being really alienated from city politics, you've become central to city politics.
Yeah.
Both, you know, in your role on the Planning Commission, your role in the election of Mayor Javier Gonzalez, and that ongoing relationship between Meow Wolf and the city and the mayor. my intro
nice.
Music is playing.
All right. This is where we get into the funky conversations of politics. The fun.
Welcome to the Radio Cafe. Anyway, I guess it's going to be just about time to go, but yeah, just very quickly, anything you want to say about young people in Santa Fe and keeping people in town?
Yeah, you know, it's... It's unfortunately looked at as something that is so it's dismissed quite often, the idea that like you need to have a young demographic in order to be a healthy economy and a healthy place to live. The reality of it is that we are increasing in median age quite rapidly, and we are going to probably be into the median age of the 60s at this rate within the next 20 years. And
even you will get there.
I will get there. The problem is that's not economies don't run off of retirement.
Yeah.
So you need to have new workforce, you need to have new business owners, and so, you know, I'm dedicated to that.
It's just about time to go. Another thank you, Charlie Henry and Bobby Shapiro. Thank you, everybody, for calling 428-1393. And thank you, above all, Vince Cadlebeck of Meow Wolf. Congratulations on your great accomplishment. And some of us will see you tomorrow night, but we will see you at Meow Wolf.
Yeah.
Thanks for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you for having me.
428-1393. We're going to be fundraising until 9:05, and then we'll do a drawing right after the news. Hasta la vista.